Wired Jesus Podcast, April 22nd, 2006. Creative Commons licensed.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me and I walk alone.
Wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim.
I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams.
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Well, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
My boy, we're pilgrims in an unholy land.
I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust! It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
Yes, it has been a long time, and it wasn't my fault. Welcome to Wired Jesus. Welcome back, I guess I should say, to the Wired Wanderings of a Postmodern Pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lieberg, and I'm really glad you've come along for our journey together.
O Lord, on this blessed day, we thank Thee for giving our family one more crack at togetherness. Amen.
Well, after much waiting, Wired Jesus is back. My life has been a little crazy the past few months, as you've probably noted on the blog. Back in February, I accepted a new job as the senior pastor of Lutheran Church of the Master, which is in Carroll Stream, Illinois, one of the western suburbs of Chicago. So we had begun packing, putting the house up for sale, doing the whole HGTV design-to-sell routine for house showings. All the while, I'm trying to wrap up things with my old congregation and get ready to start at the new. So needless to say, building in the time for podcasting was just a little difficult with so many things to do. And as my wife, Carla, gently and sometimes not so gently reminded me of all the things that needed to be done. So podcasting had to be put on hold while I got moved out here in advance of the rest of the family and started the new position. After starting 2 weeks ago and leading worship for the first time on Easter morning, I'm finally getting things unpacked and finding a little more free time. I still need to upgrade the webpage to the newest version of WordPress, but I should be getting back into a more regular podcast schedule every once or 2 weeks getting something up. But it's great to be back in a metro area again. Overall, as much as small-town living has its good points, we're looking forward to living in a metro area, digging into some Chicago deep dish pizza. And during the interim, my oldest son turned 16 and got his driver's license, so I'll be showing him the Blues Brothers as part of his Chicago driver's education. Last night I went out to a local wine bar, listened to a great Canadian artist named Franklin Mullen and his band. Was there with some friends from the congregation, and it was good music, good wine, and good conversation. We're a group of strangers all connected for an evening in the intimacy of a club. It was probably the most relaxed and most at home I've felt probably since I've been out here.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure. I saw an angel. Of that I'm sure. She smiled at me on the subway. She was with another man. I won't lose no sleep on that, 'cause I've got a plan. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful, it's true. I saw your face in a crowded place, and I don't know.
I'm guessing you've heard that song before. Great melody, sad love song, and I quickly downloaded it off of iTunes after I heard it. In a very short time, a very short song, James Blunt writes about our desire to be loved. And those passing moments when we think we see someone who we really think we could connect with, but it never really happens. Particularly in those times when you're single, this type of song touches a nerve. One of my nicknames in college was Man of a Thousand Sisters, because I had a lot of close female friends, many of whom were quite beautiful. The reason my male friends at college gave me this name? Well, it comes out of that line that kills any hetero guy when spoken by a gorgeous woman. I love being with you. You're just like the brother I never had. And you know, when you hear that, sometimes that's not exactly what you want to hear. And I seemed to attract women like this like flies when I was in college. They were everywhere. It drove me nuts. But fortunately, God has a sense of humor, and eventually one of those gorgeous women did agree to become my wife. But this type of situation goes that way with any relationship. You find yourself in that situation when the one you are drawn to doesn't feel the same way, or you never get the chance to get close enough for you to find out. What I find fascinating about this song, You're Beautiful, is not so much the lyrics in praise of this beautiful woman he never meets. It's the video, which until you get through it, you realize is essentially a filmed suicide. And it's not at all what I expected. It really was kind of a Sixth Sense moment for me when I watched it. In one very stark single scene, James sings of his love and then very calmly removes his clothes, lines up his possessions, and then throws himself into a freezing river while the snow gently falls. I mean, there's no happy ending. You never see the woman. It's just a beautiful, bad day. Now, on the flip side, you have this particular song from Daniel Powder.
The moment we needed the most. You kick up the leaves and the magic is lost. A town where your blue skies fade to gray. A town where your passion's gone.
I was struck that they're both a very similar style. The two guys have very similar voices, but this song is a little more playful, but it's all about a bad day. It's a catchy tune, downloaded off of iTunes at the same time. And what eventually caught me about this song also was the video, a kind of a lyric visual reversal of You're Beautiful. The video deals with the reality of a bad day. Again, very much like the other song, of people looking for a connection, but always passing each other by. But then you get this playful sequence of cartooning back and forth between the guy and the girl in the video, and finally a meeting in the rain at the very end. Nothing more happens other than their meeting, and the song and the video are still all about bad days. But the video, not the song, the video ends with the possibility of something beautiful happening on a bad day. of making that connection we all want. In thinking about Easter last week, I think that's the way many of us who find ourselves disconnected from religion look at Jesus. On one hand, it's a beautiful passing that really just ends in jumping off a bridge, the death of a good man, but doesn't really offer a whole lot for real life. So dying for someone else, that's beautiful. But the invitation, I'm not going to jump off a cliff myself because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. On the other hand, I think many folks also wonder, this whole cross thing is the ultimate bad day. But to still be telling it 2,000 years later, that maybe there's something more, that maybe there's something good at the end of it that we never really see until we enter the story, enter the video, if you will, to enter that bad day ourselves, and there discover that someone else is there, and that something new is about to begin that we haven't seen yet. I believe that it's universal that we all, as human beings, we're wired to want to be connected with those around us, that we want to know what it is to be loved, to have a companion for life, and not just simply pass through the daily grind without ever engaging the beauty we see in the people we pass or in the world we live in. Both these videos say something about the choices we think we have in finding love and meaning in life. My thought is that Easter maybe offers a third. The possibility that love can find us, that someone outside ourselves can actually break into our reality and tell us that we are beautiful, even on a bad day. That's the great surprise of Easter, the surprise of the spiritual journey, that you can discover that you're the one who's found. Switch it around from the song. That you're the one who's beautiful, that instead of being the one singing, you are the one found, and someone else is singing the song to you. I would say that's what Jesus and the cross are all about, this impossible declaration that you're beautiful, so much so that you are loved so ultimately and completely, it goes beyond even death. Easter is the rest of it then, that you don't have to find that out yourself. You don't have to engage in the search. That someone else is out to find you and has already found you. In a time when it's hard enough to make a personal connection, and many folks having to look to methods like eHarmony to have even a shot at finding love in a crowd, Easter can start to make sense in a real world. It's more than a 2,000-year-old history. It's more than a group of people gathered in a church building on weekends. It's an experience of something that's bigger than death, a chance and a new beginning, an encounter that draws you really into the life of God. I guess I'd have to say that's what I really enjoyed about Friday night, a gathering of strangers who, in being together, are discovered by something bigger. And it doesn't matter that it wasn't a church service. It wasn't the wine, it wasn't the music, it was the experience of itself. It's what I like to call a God thing. That in that moment, a love and a connection greater than any of us occurred. That there was a sense of being found by others, and I would say by what I experienced, found by God. That tells us they're gathered in this club, in this wine bar. We experience that we are beautiful, even on a bad day. Well, that's it for this new podcast to get things restarted again. It's good to be back. And like I said, look to see more and more activity on the blog and with the podcast. Thanks to everyone for all the encouraging emails and hanging there in with me. If you know of friends who have unsubscribed or maybe have posted that Wired Jesus is down because of the gap, do let them know that I'm back. I may even be creating a second RSS feed just to be able to create a little more publicity. My plan for the next podcast is to look at postmoderns, religion, and humor. You know, how do we laugh about faith and poke fun at religion and still find spiritual meaning in it all? In a certain sense, we are a little more playful in our attitudes toward politics and society. You know, Daily Show, one of my favorites, is a good example. And we do the same thing when it comes to religion and the spiritual journey, I think. So how do we poke fun at religion? How do we find spiritual meaning? How do we find laughter and joy rather than being really somber about the whole business? So join me as we look at some places where religion and satire meet. Places like South Park, The Simpsons, an old classic from the 70s, a favorite of mine, The Life of Brian and Dogma, and possibly even others. So come along and find out on the next podcast. Well, that's it for this podcast. If you live in Chicago, check out the wine bar I went to, Vine Tastings. Every weekend they have live music, and the group we listened to was Frank Mullen and his band. I've posted their links on the blog, so if you're in the area, check them out. Of course, be sure to stop by WiredJesus.com and leave your comments there or at Tom@WiredJesus.com. And keep on passing the word to others about the podcast. So thanks for walking with Wired Jesus, and see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee.
Done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two. I wrote that. Yeah.